This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, thanks to homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeyne, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Toth, and Uncle Ralph.
Topanot, thank you very much, and welcome into WSMI Sports Saturday. We've got quite a show lined up.
Oh, do we?
We do.
Do we?
We do.
And we hope we're able to stay on the air for another week after this show.
We'll see.
Just one of them potpourri jobs?
Not really potpourri, because we have a specific thing we want to deal with later in the program, and it's kind of drawn the ire of the guys here at the radio station. At least it's drawn the ire of me.
And we're going to have a guest joining us later who was front and center.
Yeah.
Had a great view, if you will, of what went down at that 2A state title game.
If this was a court of law, we have a witness.
That's right.
So
we have a lot of circumstantial evidence that is pointing in one direction.
Yes.
But we will get into that later. Yes. We're going to start on a little better note.
Absolutely. Jessica Chapelier and Sandy McNeil have joined us today. They're going to talk about a little bit about this volleyball tournament, which is coming up. When is it coming up, Jess? Is it what, May?
It's May 18th.
Okay, Saturday. I was going to say May 15th, but that's not a Saturday. So May 18th. Mm-hmm. And this is to help with the Cancer Association, and in particular, breast cancer awareness. So, Sandy, you want to tell us a little bit about that? Pull that microphone over there to you, kiddo.
Well, I'm Sandy McNeil, as he said, and I am a member of the Montgomery County Breast Cancer Association group. I think
And before we go any further, a survivor.
A survivor, yes. It will be 21 years in June.
Terrific.
Yes, it's great.
Terrific.
The Cancer Association, or the Breast Cancer Association, started 5 years ago when Alicia Grossenheider had a vision, which has really taken off. And what we have done, we meet. We try to get names of people that are diagnosed with breast cancer, and when they are done, we donate packages, gift packages. And we have been able to raise it up to $400 per diagnosis, with a package of other little gifts and books to help them through this transition. If down the road they have a reoccurrence, we will do this up to three times. Back when we started, we were only able to give $50, so we've been able to raise funds through fundraisers, events like this that they donate back to us. And in the 5 years we have been getting together, we have helped 85 women. That's just from Montgomery County only. And that's these terrific. Are not probably all the people we know about. These are the only ones that have contacted us and we've been able to talk to.
It's a great support group.
It is a great support group.
You've been through this. Tell us what happens when you find out. What, you know, what goes through your mind, and then how do you deal with it?
First, you cry. You're like, this can't be happening to me. And the decision has to be made what you're going to do. The doctors are the specialists, but they give you the option of what you want to have done. And after you decide to make a decision, then they tell you what you should do. So you go through all this psychological.
But that's the process.
That's the process. Right. And then I was told that if I had a mastectomy, I would not have to have chemotherapy. So they come in 2 days later and told me I needed chemotherapy. So you start this roller coaster all over again. The surgery was the easy part. The mental part is different. I had great support from my family and friends. And that does a lot.
Yeah.
That gets you through it.
And that's why we're...
That's why we're raising this money, to help everyone else. Not everyone's been as lucky as me to be a 21-year survivor. But I'm very thankful.
That's terrific. That's terrific, Sandy.
There's been a lot of cancer in our family, but you just keep smiling and going on.
It's one of those things. It's a disease. Probably, if you live long enough, you're going to have some form of it.
No kidding.
That's just kind of the way history is being written right now about the human race.
My doctor told me that everyone has cancer cells in their body. It's if your immune system breaks down that those cancer cells take hold. Another thing I wanted to say, that we buy gift cards, gas cards. We buy them through Zion Lutheran School Script Program because it helps the students and stuff then. And they get a percentage back from the company. We buy the Walmart cards for gas. If they need food, other items, that way it's their discretion.
Terrific, terrific. Jess, tell us a little bit about the volleyball tournament. And Jess knows a little bit about playing volleyball.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. So, and I don't want to ever play against you because you're competitive as all get out. So.
I like to win. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kimberly Denny's put together a volleyball tournament for this. And it's going to be on Saturday, May 18th. It's a co-ed tournament. They've really done a lot up in Farmersville to get a lot of volleyball back into the area and to bring it into like more of a co-ed sport. So it's not just girls volleyball, which when I was in high school, it was just girls that played volleyball. Now they're really trying to get guys into it as well and have had a lot of success. And they're even starting at an early age with the little kids bringing guys in, or little boys into it as well. But we're doing a 6-on-6 co-ed tournament, three men, three women. You can have all women, but you can't have all men. You have to have an equal number of, you can have more women than men, but you can't have more men than women.
Okay.
It's $120 to get in for a team. And like I said, May 18th, and it's going to start around 10 a.m. So you need to get there about 9:30 just to get registered and everything.
It's going to be at the outdoors at the gym, right?
Yes, it's going to be at the Farmersville gym. They've got, last year they had leagues outdoors. They've got two courts outdoors. They've got the luxury of having the indoor court there too if there's a large turnout or if it rains. Mm-hmm. So they have the indoor court. But they do have T-shirts as well. So if you sign up early before May 10th, then you get a free T-shirt with your registration form. Now, some people might just want a T-shirt if they're not participating because it's a Warriors for the Cure shirt, and we can get those as well by just by sending Kimberly some money, and she can either send it back to you or you can pick it up that day. But it's going to be basically two courts outside. They're going to play a round robin tournament, and then at the end, the top two teams in each
pool
are going to go and play kind of a final four bracket.
So, do you have your team already picked out? I bet you.
Well,
do.
I'm on Kimberly's team, so yeah. Okay. So we're looking pretty.
It's stacked. Trust me.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
These guys are for real.
Now, will you guys have three guys and three gals, or it'll be?
Yeah, three girls.
You'll have the even split.
Yeah, we will.
So, and maybe this is wrong for me to say, but when I think of volleyball, I just think a team of six women would beat a team of six men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. That's what I think.
Well, the guys do have the dominance when it comes to the height and the jumping ability and the ability to hit, the ability to block. We play on an eight, because it's co-ed, we play on an 8-foot net. Girls play on a 7-foot-4 net. So it's much easier for the guys to hit on an 8-foot net. The girls really are difficult to, it's really difficult to block or hit on that type of a net. So, there is some advantage to guys after they've played, but if they don't have any experience, there's definitely the advantage to the girls just by, the guys like to go up and they like to block and they like to hit. But when it comes to playing defense.
Yeah.
Just guys are used to doing PE volleyball, which isn't really volleyball. Yeah. I mean, it's PE volleyball and it's kind of, you know, weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. When you have to do the real thing, it's a whole different ball of wax. So.
Yeah, we have to play the defense.
And you mentioned earlier about how volleyball has kind of been reintroduced. I think it's a generational thing because now that, you know, a lot of people your age, your folks probably were involved in it. And now it's come full circle again. Go, you know, they had a lot of fun doing that. And we could do that.
Yeah.
And so it's alive and well, and it's good to see again. Because I tell you what, you draw a heck of a crowd with that volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah. I think whenever I was little, my parents were playing in leagues. We were exposed to it at that early age. We carried it on through high school. Now it's, like you said, full circle. Our kids are starting out, and Kimberly's been very active in getting the young kids, kindergartners, first grade, second grade, already involved.
Isn't Kimberly a great teacher?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah. She's really going to build that program at Raymond. So,
And she needs to get her rear end in here and be on the sports show with
us. Yeah, she does.
Come on, Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't killed anybody yet doing this.
She's got a reputation to keep.
We do have. That's right. We have a reputation. So you
don't say she's got one. That's why she's coming in.
Well, that's probably why she didn't want to come in. Hanging out with people like us.
Yeah. I also want to mention, too, that sometimes the big concern is that high school girls or junior high girls can't play in this because there is a cash prize. First and second prize teams will get a cash prize. Well, the IHSA has changed some things, and if the girls or boys have their parents with them to sign a waiver that day, they can play in it. Now, the unfortunate thing is they cannot receive the money, but that in turn will just be donated back to the breast cancer support group.
Only the private schools can receive the money, the non-boundary schools. Did I say that?
Yeah.
That's coming up later. That's coming up later.
Yeah. Also, Kimberly, if you can't find a team, but you want to play, you can get a hold of Kimberly, and she will be putting together some of those teams. They're really trying to make this a success.
How many teams could you handle in a tournament? Is it unlimited at this point, or are you looking 30 teams maybe?
I think it's unlimited. I don't know that there's because like I said, we have the access to three courts. It'll start early. Just depends on how long people want to play.
And you could throw a couple of courts into the square there at Farmersville if you
needed to. Yeah, they do that at Irish Days. They've got two courts up there.
Right, close to the Chili Dome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's coming up on May the 18th. And the people to contact?
Yeah, Kimberly Denny. You can contact her at 652-0145. That's 217-652-0145. Or, like I said, if you just wanted to mail your checks in for your team early by May 10th for early registration and get a free T-shirt. With that, her address is 106 Sharon, Sharon Street, then Farmersville, Illinois, 62533.
Or you can give me a call, and I've got that information as well. So, Sandy, you have something else you'd like to add?
I just wanted to say that the Montgomery County Breast Cancer Group is under a wing of the MCCA, and that any donations that we receive, if we have maybe more than we're going to need for a certain year, we will donate back to MCCA, and we will help. We do help with the scholarships that they do have. And I also wanted to say that we have hats, wigs, bras, and things like that, and that is available to any cancer person, not just breast cancer.
Okay. Well, a week ago yesterday, we did the cancer awareness game, baseball game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this has kind of progressed from volleyball to basketball, now to baseball and softball. So it's good to see the young people, the student athletes being involved in raising awareness and being aware of the fact that it's out there. And this is something they're going to have to probably fight their whole life. So.
And I'm sure we're not reaching everyone. So
no.
Anyone.
But you're reaching a lot more than you were.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and that's just Montgomery County. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah. What a great job the Montgomery County Cancer Association has done.
It has done
terrific.
Wonderful.
And the Breast Cancer Awareness Group as well. So, ladies, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. And maybe we'll have you back again as time gets a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. If you need a little extra boost and don't have enough teams signed up, okay?
But yeah, it'll be a fun day. They're going to have pork patties out there with the Boy Scout, the Boy Scout troop. They're going to have drinks. Hopefully the weather's nice and it'll be a fun day.
Even if the weather's not nice, you're going to play volleyball.
Right.
Okay. Sandy McNeil, Jessica Chapelier, thanks so much. We need a break. We'll come back with more on Sports Saturday right after this.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So, when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:18, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. We'll have highs in the upper 50s. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. Lows will be in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, windy and warmer. Expect a high Sunday of around 75 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies with a day-to-day chance for some showers. Expect highs in the upper 60s. The lows will be in the low 50s. At 9:19, we have a temperature reading of 43 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
April showers bring Mayflowers, as well as leaky, wet, and musty basements and crawl spaces. Midwest Basement Tech has a permanent guaranteed solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, there's only one place to call. Midwest Basement Tech at 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Don't make a mistake with your home's foundation repairs. Call now 1-800-848-9805 or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:20, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right. We are back on WSMI Sports Saturday.
Thanks to Sandy and to Jess for coming in talking about the volleyball tournament.
That's so right.
That's a nice thing.
It's a great event, yep. And I'm sure it will be well participated in.
That was a great event. And what should have been a great event, the Class 2A State Basketball Championship game, has turned into a complete and utter embarrassment and debacle.
That's the word I like to use, debacle.
Debacle. Yes. That's a big word.
Of course, we all
remember. I'm not sure I can spell it, but I know how to say it.
We all remember what happened. Seton Academy, Harrisburg, 2A title game. Player for Seton Academy, their best player, all-stater, gets teed up, makes contact with an official, gets tossed out. This is standard operating procedure.
Right.
This is what happened. Automatic.
Automatic.
Automatic. Whether
every
you're playing,
sport.
Every level. Pro, college, right. High school, baseball, volleyball, basketball, it does not matter. You touch an official, you're out. You're ran.
Right.
You're done. Mm-hmm. So he was.
Yes.
And then, of course, the game goes on. Harrisburg wins the title. After the game is over, the Seton Academy coach, Brandon Thomas, watches three of his administrators receive their second place medals. This clown coach steps up on the podium, refuses to bend over to have his medal placed around his neck. He eventually snatches it out of the hand of the IHSA official, and then he walks off, and you see in the background, takes his medal, tosses it into the stands, and then just walks off the floor with the rest of his kids waiting to get their medals. He's off the floor because he's so mad. They don't take the trophy.
And by the way, you can see that exactly happening on the video.
Yes, it's plain.
It's plain as day.
Video does not lie. You can go to the videotape. He walks off the floor. They refuse to accept their second-place trophy. So the IHSA launches an investigation. And, of course, they now have deemed that it was the official's fault.
Right. And the officials we speak of are friends of ours.
Yes.
We make no bones about it.
That's right.
Todd Brook of Alhambra, Dan Smith of Gillespie, Rick Toll from Witt. Guys who have refereed for years and years.
Great officials.
And talking with my brother-in-law, Don Huddleston, who had done a little officiating over the years, he says these guys would be hired at the drop of a hat.
That's right.
Because anybody would take them because they're good officials.
That's right.
And they have done big games, not only in basketball, but probably other sports as well.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So they are our friends, and we're going to stick up for them today because they were thrown under the bus big time by the IHSA.
They've been made the scapegoats for this whole situation. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I'll reiterate what I said then right now. If the Seton Academy coach acts in an appropriate manner after the game, if he takes his medal, takes his trophy, they get on the bus and go home, this is a non-issue. The fact that the kid touched an official and got run, it's a non-issue. This became a big deal when the Seton Academy coach, Brandon Thomas, acted unacceptable.
Right.
When you hear the IHSA, and if you've ever been to a state tournament, they spend the whole weekend shoving, sportsmanship and proper attitude with that stupid little foam egg.
The sponge egg.
Shove it down your throat the entire weekend about what they stand for. They make no bones about it. The IHSA stands for sportsmanship first and foremost. That's what they tell you. That's what they do. Great. I'm all for that. I applaud them for that. That's what high school sports is all about. Only one person in that whole event showed bad sportsmanship out of the realm of a sporting event.
Right.
And it was a Seton Academy coach.
Right.
You know, and so the suspensions, or not suspensions, the punishments have been handed down. Now, I will read from you directly from the release from Matt Trohaw and the IHSA.
Who we've had on this program before,
great
by the
guy.
Way.
And
yeah, great guy.
If people listen to the show know we love the IHSA.
IHSA does a terrific job administering sports and the state tournament level events. We're talking about one specific event now, and we're talking about one specific decision, which we just feel is unfair.
So they had an investigation. They have leveled this sanction on Harrisburg High School head basketball coach Randy Smith Peters. He may have no involvement. That's team contact, coaching, attending games with Harrisburg or any other IHSA member school during the postseason state series basketball tournament. That's regionals, sectionals, super sectionals, state finals, 2013-2014. So he's basically suspended for the postseason next year.
Unless
he successfully completes the NFHS Teaching and Modeling Behavior Training Program. So he has been placed on probation for the coming school year. Now,
commonly known as anger management.
Exactly.
Basically.
And
true.
What they say is, this is quoting now from President Marty Hickman. Coach Smith Peters crossed the line early in the game with his actions toward the game officials. He should have been issued a technical foul during the first half for his blatant violation of coach's box rule. His behavior set a negative tone for the players and fans and contributed to a hostile environment that only grew worse during the first half. Okay. The coach's box rule, Terry. I defer to you. You have seen a lot more sports than I have. The coach's box rule is basically equivalent to the coaching box at third base on a baseball field. Are they really suggesting to me that they want the game officials teeing up a coach in the state championship game because he was out of the coach's box?
I think that's what they suggest. Just said. And it's all about decorum. It's all about acting the proper way. As long, and officials will tell you, these guys will tell you, the guys that were involved, as long as the coach is coaching, if he's out of the box, so what? You know, as long as, now if he's chewing on the officials, if he's doing something that's detrimental to the game, then you probably need to put a stop to it. But let's realize what's going on here. Let's put things in perspective. Okay, this is the IHSA Class 2A state championship game against the top two rated teams in the state. Seton Hall was number one, was bumped
Seton
off,
Academy.
Or Seton Academy was number one, and then Harrisburg took over at the number one spot on the poll. So you had the top two teams in the state. You had Chicago versus Deep South,
right,
which is a great matchup for the state tournament. What a great tournament. Yeah, they are acting, the IHSA is acting like games have never been hotly contested.
Right.
Coaches have never been out of the coach's box before. What world are they operating in?
I'm not sure.
You know, I don't know. And I think the coach's box rule probably a little more stringent as compared to the third and first base coach's box in baseball, which never gets enforced. But still, as long as the game is going on and the coaches coach, who cares?
And most of the times when a coach is out of the box, he's on the floor trying to get the attention of an official because he wants an explanation for a call. We're not playing the state championship game in Lincolnwood High School where there's 200 people there.
Right.
There's thousands of people there. Big arena.
Noisy.
Noisy. Yes. Hard to hear. Yes. So you're trying to get the attention of the official. Should he have been assessed technical? Maybe.
Tell you what. Here's the bottom line. Even if he wasn't coaching, okay, there's 9 million other things going on with the game. As game officials have to deal with. You've got players. You've already got a hotly contested game. You got to keep an eye on the players. You have to keep an eye on the players. You're on a bigger court. You're in a situation where it's a lot of noise there. You have to really focus in on what's going on. A lot of times you can't be paying attention to what's going on the sidelines. Now, if the IHSA thought there was really a problem with the coaches and their coaching box issues, there's probably 30 suits from the IHSA front office, sitting there on the front row, in and about the coaching box area, Why didn't they just during the end of a timeout go over there and say, guys, stay put in your box?
Terry, we've seen enough high school basketball over the years.
Yes.
Regular season, regionals, sectionals, super sectionals. It's not called.
No.
It's not enforced. Called. Nor should it be.
It so is.
You don't want a game. It's like the uniform rule.
There you go.
You don't want ridiculous technical fouls being called that could wind up costing teams mm-hmm. games. Mm-hmm. You don't want it. That, to me, is a black eye for an organization if you start having officials call ridiculous technical fouls that have nothing to do with the game. So that was the IHSA's explanation
right.
for why the Harrisburg coach
right.
was reprimanded, because he was out of the coach's box. And that is the main reason that the game officials were reprimanded, because failure to enforce the bench conduct rule during the championship game. That's why these officials, these great officials, have been publicly reprimanded. If you've got a problem, if you are really set in stone that should be handled, then handle it like you handle it throughout the regular season and every other level of the postseason. You privately talk to the officials and say, fellas, we're not happy mm-hmm. with how this went down. You do it privately. When you publicly do this to high school officials, you have basically given free rein to anyone who's ever wanted to yell, complain, or berate an official. And it happens all the time
yeah.
at a high school level. You've yeah. just given all these people mm-hmm. ammunition. You've basically said it's the official's fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you've done. But the biggest problem, of course, was Seton Academy. They are the institution that acted poorly.
Actually, it wasn't the institution. It was the head coach.
It was the coach. So yeah. the sanctions yeah. for Seton Academy, again, reading from the press release from the IHSA. In addition to the sanctions implemented by the school, Seton Academy head basketball coach Brandon Thomas may have no involvement. That's team contact, coaching, attending games at Seton Academy or any other IHSA member school during the postseason next year. Regionals, sectionals, super state. Now, this is a two-year ban.
Right.
Two-year ban. And he does not have the opportunity for the anger management, as Uncle Ralph called it. He is on probation for the coming school year, and that will not change, as it should be. As we just discussed,
right.
his conduct's completely unacceptable at the end of the ballgame. No wonder his kid lost his cool
yeah.
in the heat of the battle. That's how the coaches act. And my point has always been, teenagers lose their cool. You know, a teenager in the heat of the moment made a mistake. Contacted yes. an official, automatic ejection. That happened.
The rules handled it. The officials
rules,
handled it
handled
via
it.
the rule book.
This coach had halftime, the second half, the celebration of Harrisburg on the floor, and then, as I said, he watched three administrators get the medal. So we had probably, 90 minutes to 2 hours to think and contemplate his actions. And he decided to throw his medal in the stands and walk off the floor without taking the trophy. That's what he decided to do. Now, again, we're quoting from Marty Hickman. Coach Thomas delivered an obscenity-laced tirade in the presence of student-athletes in the tunnel following the first half. The tournament staff then attempted to bring the coaches and administrators together to change the climate of the game. Coach Thomas initially refused to participate, and when he eventually appeared, his demeanor made it clear that he would not be a conduit for positive change. There is no place for that type of behavior in high school athletics, and no outcome of a high school sporting event warrants it. Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
But they make it sound like this coach should be happy that at the halftime of the state championship game, he's being called into a meeting. A meeting. It's halftime of the state title game. This is not the time to have a powwow with the coaches involved in the game, in my opinion.
Well, the whole – and Dave Kane, our good friend Dave Kane from the State Journal Register, had an article, I think it was, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, talking about how the IHSA has disciplined the coaches, has disciplined the officials in the 2A title game, and quoting from – the issue or the article that Dave had says IHSA Executive Director Marty Hickman talking with both coaches at halftime, threatening to end the game.
Oh, come on. Come on.
This is so ridiculous.
Yes.
Threatening to end the game if behavior did not improve. Well,
right.
First and foremost, let's be realistic. Number one, and Marty, I consider Marty Hickman a friend. He's been involved with our local sports stuff before, and has, you know, we've talked to him over the years. Marty, get serious. You're not going to shut down the state championship game because, number one, it's just dumb. Number two, you do have legal contracts. I mean, you have TV broadcasting rights or radio rights. You know, if we're broadcasting the game and you shut this thing down, man, you don't think the lawyers are going to get involved here?
Right.
Holy moly. Dude, what are you thinking here? What are you thinking? And, you know, if that's what you said, told these people, why in the heck did you admit it to, right, to the press?
Right.
That's just a dumb thing to do. Okay? The whole crux of this matter is the IHSA was shooting an arrow, and they missed the target. The target was the poor behavior by the coach at the end of the game. Let me just step back. The game officials did a great job.
Fabulous.
It was a hotly contested game. There have been hotly contested battles for the state basketball championship in the state of Illinois for hundreds of years, okay? This is not the only one that's happened. There have been technical fouls called in state championship games. There have been incidents where coaches have been mouthing off and players have mouthed off. But, you know, that's why we have a rule book, and that's why we have trained officials doing this. They handled themselves well. Todd Brook handled himself well. Danny Smith handled himself well. Rick Toll handled himself well. There was no problem during the game. I'm sorry. You watch that ball game. You listen to the TV announcer from the IHSA. There was no problem. He wasn't complaining about the game. The problem happened when the game officials' jurisdiction ended. They left the floor. The game was over. And then the suits were in charge. The suits were in charge. And what happened when the suits were in charge? You had the coach walking off. Now, you talk about missing the target, folks.
Right.
That's missing the target. These guys have been thrown under the bus, and it's completely unfair. And we're not saying the IHSA should be thrown out completely.
No.
This is just a one incident, but I really disagree with the fact that they threw these guys under the bus.
And, sir, you've said for years, you and I have had many conversations after we've watched ball games.
Yeah,
you know, and we'll come in and say, well, this call. And you've always said, that doesn't matter.
How
many free throws did you miss?
How many turnovers
did you have?
How many rebounds did you not block out on?
Exactly. That's what games are decided on, not officials' calls. And that game, like you said, it was officiated fine. Were there blown calls? Sure. There's blown calls in every single sporting event since sports were invented and they started officiating. It's the human element.
Folks, if officiating was easy, you schmucks in the stands could do it. But you can't do it because you can't put up with it. You have to know what to call, what to let go. And you know what? You have to put up with the fact that sometimes you make an error and you don't call everything and you don't get everything right. But these guys did a great job. They shouldn't be thrown under the bus.
Quoting from Marty Hickman again in the press release. Officiating is a tough job and a state championship is a big stage. We understand the official's train of thought is to try and let the teams play. But all these factors came together and things boiled over in the first half before they are able to rein the game in. What is he talking about? What on God's green earth is he talking about? They kicked the kid out for touching an official. What he's saying is the official should have gone out and just started just calling every foul, teeing every single buddy. How many assistant coaches did Harrisburg have? Because by the letter of the law,
they had a lot of them,
assistant coach number five would have been coaching the game by the end of the night because everybody else would have been run because you got to tee them all up to keep control.
Now,
is absurd.
Let's take this, make it ad nauseum here. Let's say that this has happened. Let's say that that's exactly what happened to him. Everything was called, teed up, multiple technical fouls. What would be the opinion of people around the state of Illinois about the game officials and the running and the administering of the state championship game 2A?
It would be that the officials overstepped their bounds and they had a direct adverse impact on the state championship game. In a state title, in any
game. Boys, you can't have it both ways.
In any game, but especially a state title game, you want the officials to not even be noticed.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Don't call stupid technical fouls. Now, Terry, you and I, we're not there. We have a man on the phone who was there.
Our good friend Joe Parmentier.
Second row, behind the scorer's bench, same side as the benches. Now, the Parmentier name is one of the most respected names you're going to find in mid-Illinois in terms of coaching. Joining us on the phone right now is Joe Parmentier. Joe, thank you for so much of your time. Please take the floor at this point in time. Let us know. I'm serious. You tell us, is anything we have said out of bounds or wrong? You were there. You saw it with your own eyes.
I appreciate what you said about the Parmentier name. That's quite a compliment. But you know,
we expect payment next week, Joe.
you know, Terry, you know, there's a lot of referees that don't like me. And, of course, you know, I got that little reputation that, you know, I don't think I've ever supported a referee my whole life. You can ask Danny Hell, the Bogenthal, you know. And,
yeah.
And anyway, but I was sitting in the second row. And the first question I have for you guys is, I mean, you guys work a lot of basketball games, a lot of tournaments. Have you ever seen a team that got second place not receive their trophy?
Nope.
No. Never.
And, you know, in my defense of the referees, why didn't the Seton Hall coach just take the trophy and then file his grievance? You know, if he wanted to file a grievance. And also, would this happen if Seton Hall won the game? No. I was there. I was so proud of the officials that made it there, Smith, Toll, and Brooks, three great officials. I mean, we've had great officials from this area, as I said before, with Held, Bogenthal, and Johnny Paul, and of course,
Hood. Well, okay, that might be a stretch.
And this is a joke, and this is the biggest mistake I've ever seen. And you know, talking to these officials, and they're all good friends of mine, and that's one of the reasons I went down there. They were so excited about going down there, and so the wife and I took off and got the best. I said, "Give me the best seats available," and then I was there second row off the floor behind the scorer's table. And you know, I thought they called a great game. I mean, considering the game was sloppy, it was fast. You know, they warned the coach to get back in his box, which, you know, they normally always do. You know, and I didn't see any problems. I didn't hear any name calling. Again, like I said, I was on the second seat. You know, I was second row, and I just didn't see it. I'm just very upset about it. And with these officials, they're great officials. And, you know, the thing about Todd and Rick and Dan is they don't do it for the money. They do it for the love of the game and for the kids. And people are all forgetting about that.
And Joe, here's the thing with me. If Seton Academy just takes their trophy and goes home, but is a non-issue. Yeah, it's not even being talked about.
Absolutely. That's the big thing right there, Tim. That's it.
You know, Joe, it seems to me that the IHSA is once again kissing the rear ends of private schools.
Absolutely.
Am I out of line here, or certainly on circumstantial evidence, this is what it appears to be?
We look at state football. Who wins state football all the time? Tim, Terry, Tim and Terry. I mean, come on, guys. We got to do something to control this. How many years in a row has Seton Hall been there and not won it? And you know, unless they win it, will they be happy? I mean, come on. I mean, I've coached for 30 years, and my dad's coached forever, and Jim Lofty's coached forever. Do you think if we got second place, we wouldn't accept that trophy and be happy? Oh,
right.
My God.
Right.
You know, you're teaching kids, you know, accept. You know, you got to accept it, but you work hard, you go up there, and you get your award. You don't throw your medal. You don't go out there for the showing. Oh, my gosh. Guys like us would love to do that. And, you know, I mean, it's just something the kids have worked for. And to me, the coach is an individual, and that's all there is to it.
Well, Joe, if I could meet with this coach one-on-one, my first question. Yeah, wouldn't you like to see that? But my first question to him to be
would
be.
I would love to see that. I would get Denny Hell and them guys with me.
The whole world would, Joe. But I would simply ask him, sir, what did you think, even in a fit of rage or anger or whatever you call it, what did you really feel you had to gain by taking your medal and throwing it in the stand? What in your mind did you think you gained by doing this? I'm totally lost with what he was thinking.
I am too. I mean, I was there, and it was, I've never seen, I mean, granted, I've acted like a complete idiot many of times on the floor, you know, but, you know, I always go and shake the coach's hands and then, you know, usually talk to the officials, you know, about a week later when I cool off, but I throw them under the bus. But for me to get a medal or a second place trophy, come on, man, that's ridiculous. I mean, he's got to own up, man. He's got to own up. And again, like I said, I've never seen it. And Uncle Ralph, as long as you've been alive, have you ever seen a team not take a second-place trophy?
No matter what
tournament it is. You know, if it's a Warden tournament or whatever.
And Joe, if I can interrupt, and I think this brings up another point. If you want to look at the high school basketball tournaments, here we are. We had a team, Harrisburg, from the deep south, and they were about to win a state championship. And, you know, we have got so accustomed, as we just discussed, the parochial schools in football and in basketball to a degree, and all these northern schools from Chicago and you know, anything south of Joliet's either in Alabama or Arkansas. They don't know where there is a Southern Illinois. But here we have Harrisburg. And this is kind of rubbing salt in the wounds, too. We got a Southern Illinois team that's about to take home the big trophy. And, you know, it's a mess from the get-go.
I hear you. But, you know, why don't anybody say anything about the Seton Hall or the Seton coach? Why didn't he double-team Smith-Peters, the point guard? Why did they put on full-court pressure the whole game? I mean, come on. You know, you had that big lead, and then all of a sudden you let your players get out of control. And, you know, take responsibility. Own up. Don't blame it on the referees. You know, I blame referees for losing games, but when you go back and look at it, it's not the referees, it's the coaches and the players.
There's no wonder that the Seton Academy kid got tossed out after seeing how the coach acted after the ball game. But, Joe, I'm just curious. You were there. What was the reaction of the people you were around whenever that coach chucked his medal into the stands and walked off the floor? What was the atmosphere in Carver Arena like at that moment?
I don't think a lot of people really saw it. You know, I mean, I think some of the people saw it that were sitting close on the floor, but, you know, it was a quiet moment, and when they walked off the floor, there was a couple players from Seton Hall that wanted to keep them on the floor, but, you know, the coaches, and then what gets me is the assistant coaches saying that all these words were thrown out, and he's one of the coaches that was pulling the kids into the locker room. So, come on, give me a break. You know, I am so upset about this. And Terry, we talked about it Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd Brook and I are probably the closest friends. My dad and I, his dad grew up together and went to school together. And Jim Lofty was in that crew. And you know, I he was the greatest. He called me and said, I'm so excited. I'm going up. I'm going to do this. And for this to happen, to throw it at the referees and like you said, at the state tournament, come on, give me a break.
This is what's bad to me. The IHSA now is trying to frame this basically as, well, these officials are from small towns.
Yeah,
they were out of their element doing this game. That is
crap.
A load of you know what. I know for a fact, Todd Brook has worked the biggest high school games that the state has to offer. When Darius Miles was an East St. Louis NBA player going to the NBA the next year, Todd Brook's down there doing East Side versus Alton. Don't tell me that Todd Brook can't handle a big game. Don't tell me that, because it's not true.
Joe, one thing about interscholastic sports is that it's a different classroom. We're talking about teaching life lessons.
There you go.
This is what, you know, it's a basketball game, but still there has to be some life lessons involved. And this is why I think the IHSA missed the point, because they are trying to pin this on our three good friends who were the officials of this game, and they had nothing to do with the fact that the coach walked off. This was his own personal decision. You know, he made the choice to make this decision to act like he did. And again, their jurisdiction was done. Game's over. The game officials leave the court. They're done. The suits are in charge. The IHSA missed the point for the fact that, you know, this coach had a teaching moment and didn't take advantage of it.
Oh, and I agree. Because, you know, the thing about Todd is he's worked the state tournament in baseball, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been doing it for 25 years. And the thing that I don't like, Terry and guys, I don't like the fact that Todd and Rick and Dan worked a 1A game, the first game, and then all of a sudden they worked the championship of the 2A game. I know that Todd said that they do it because that they don't get locked in. But I mean, if you're gonna referee, a 1A game, I think you should do the 1A game champ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
I don't understand why they would switch them around, because as a coach, you can watch what they do, especially, you know, 2A is a little bit more physical than 1A. So, you know, leave those officials there, because then you know what you're going to get called. And then, you know, you go from a 1A game to a 2A game, and you know, you guys all know, it gets more physical as you go up the ladder.
Well, what I think really has happened here is the IHSA was so embarrassed that they dropped the ball so badly with the Seton Academy coach that they did not want the story to be about that.
Right.
So they're deflecting it all to the officials to make it's the officials' fault that the Seton Academy coach chucked his medal. That's what I want people to realize.
Yeah.
Whether the game was officiated poorly or officiated great.
It was officiated.
That is irrelevant. Has nothing to do with anything. nothing to do with it. The way that that Seton Academy coach acted after the ball game, that's the problem. They shoved this little stupid foam A down your throat the whole the whole weekend, sportsmanship this, sportsmanship that, and then they allow, like Terry said, when the suits are in charge, they allow this guy to just walk off the floor without getting his trophy and then try to make it the official's fault. You've got to
now,
be kidding
me. Now, mind you, Joe, you can verify this. There's probably at least 30 suits from the IHSA around there. Board members, directors, all the at all. And all they had to do was grab this coach and say, hey, where are you going, man? You know, you can't leave.
Or the athletic director.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, come on, step up. But, you know, I think that some of the people up north think that we still have outhouses. Sorry, Uncle Ralph. But
you know, and Joe, probably, if that's what they
really
want to think,
have one.
You know, if that's what they want to think, let them think that. That's okay. Yeah, and, but, you know, we're on a national stage. This thing is broadcast worldwide on the satellite. You know, people are watching from all around the world. And, again, here's an opportunity for a young coach to teach some young men a life lesson. It's education. This is what it's all about. It's a different classroom. It just happened to be in Carver Arena, and the IHSA blew it. They missed the target.
You got the point. And I know you guys want to discuss, and I appreciate you letting me on the phone here. But, and my final thought is that if, you know, they don't punish Seton Hall more than what they did, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Yep. The coach has got to step up, and, you know, they go out on the floor, they shake hands, they get their medals, and then they file a complaint if they want to file a complaint. Come on, guys.
If a coach at a public school acted like that coach, he would have been fired.
Fired.
And then to make things Smith Peters to go to all these things before he can coach.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what they did. Smith Peters was just like any other coach before the during the game. He was on the floor. He was arguing. He was fighting for his team. Mm-hmm. Todd Brook went over and said, look it, buddy, I'm going to tee you up the next time you come on the floor. And I was there. I was watching because I like to watch coaches. So Smith Peters was an angel the rest of the game. And there's so many times that Todd and Dan and Rick all did that with me. They'd come over and tell me, look it, you're on the floor. I'm not going to tee you up right now. But, you know, get back in your box and do your, you know, coach you and do your job. Otherwise, I'm going to tee you up. Well, I shut my mouth up for a while. But, Smith Peters was an angel after that. He never did anything. He stood and coached. And then to throw him under the bus, he should have teed him. Well, if he'd have teed him right off the start, then like you guys said before, then the state would have said, well, he shouldn't have called that technically. He should have went over and talked to him. So, you guys both know it. And I appreciate the time, and I know you guys are busy. So,
hey, Joe, I got a comment for you.
I just want to support my referees, and you tell Denny Hill that I called because I finally supported the referees.
I got a comment for you before you leave regarding the outhouse, Mark.
Uh-oh.
We still live on the farm. We still have an outhouse. But I want to tell you, we went from corn cobs to toilet tissue.
Oh, boy.
So we have progressed.
Recently.
That's it. You and Stewie probably live.
Joe Parmentier, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your insights. You were there courtside. You saw the whole thing. The perspective you brought to this conversation is invaluable. We thank you so much and try to enjoy the rest of your
day. Alright, you too, guys.
Thanks. Take care.
We need a break. We're back with more following this.
Steak on the Grill, a crisp salad and baked potatoes served with Prairie Farms sour cream. Plan your next cookout around farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Sour cream for the baked potatoes, butter for the vegetables and rolls. For a dip everyone will enjoy, Prairie Farms French onion dip, perfect with chips or crunchy fresh veggies. And to quench that warm weather thirst, grab a plastic pint of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms. There are those who go to work in a factory, those who sit in an office from 9 to 5, those who travel to a construction site, and then there are those who wake before dawn, spend their entire day in a field, put their blood, sweat, and tears into their job, and finish the work week long after 40 hours have passed. To the farmers of America, we salute you. This message is brought to you by Teamwork Rehab, getting you back in the game, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:52, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest and Carlinville in Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs in the upper 50s. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. We'll have lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, windy and warmer. We'll have a high Sunday of around 75 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies with a day-to-day chance for some showers. Expect highs in the upper 60s. The lows will be in the low 50s. at 9:52. We have a temperature reading of 43 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:54, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Toad, and Uncle Ralph.
You heard Joe Parmentier say it. Todd Brook goes over to Smith Peters and says, calm down, get back in your box, or I'm going to tee you up. And what happened? The coach behaved himself. If a referee just starts teeing, I'm talking about regular season now, throughout the course of the year, if they just start teeing up everybody immediately with no warnings, they never get to the state title game. The job of a good referee is to not just tee someone up immediately. You give them a warning. You give them a chance to correct it. If they do, great. You move on. If they don't, then you tee them up. People with quick tee whistles don't get to the state championship game. Plain and simple. Now, Terry, we've had a number of conversations over the years about how the IHSA basically is just bemoaning the fact they don't have any young officials. Why don't we have any young officials? Why in the world would someone want to be an official after the IHSA just threw three great veteran officials under the bus? Why would anybody in their right mind want to do it?
You know, this is not like a local coach talking to a local newspaper guy or radio guy after the game throws the officials under the bus.
No.
This is a state tournament level, national, international broadcast.
Head honcho.
Yeah, this is from the organization that administers the state basketball tournament. The door has been opened now. Mm. The genie has been let out of the bottle, so to speak, that, hey, the IHSA doesn't like the way things turned out, even though it really had nothing to do with the game.
Nothing to do.
I mean, because, again, this incident happened when the suits were in charge after the game was completed. let's just remember that.
But see, they're trying to deflect that. They're trying to make you seem.
But it's not about the game.
Nope.
It's about the incident at the end of the game, the trophy presentation, when the suits were in charge. If you think they're going to get young officials interested, young people interested in officiating contests, when they put up with the crap they put up, and then have to go, you know, hopefully go to a state championship game and then put up with crap like this, this is unbelievable. Right. So you talk about throwing people under the bus.
Well, so what was Todd Brooks supposed to do? The player bumps him when he's arguing a call. Yeah. Bumps him arguing a call. What's he supposed to do? Not tee him up? That's an automatic tee.
That's
an automatic tee, automatic ejection. That there's no thought to that. People who don't know anything about anything know that.
Yeah.
And so my point would be this. Jeremy Smith is one of the best young officials
in basketball.
You're going to find. This dude is an outstanding
great mechanic
official. His dad, Dan, was on this crew.
Yeah.
If I'm Jeremy Smith, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need this. I don't need this. This is the type of support I can expect from the IHSA. You're
going
to throw me under the bus?
This is what I'm going to say to these three guys. Please don't give it up because we need you.
Yes.
The kids need you. You're too good of officials. And if you give in and just hang it up, which is understandable. It's understandable. But if you do that, the IHSA wins.
That's right.
Marty Hickman wins.
That's right.
And that's not what it's about. It's about integrity. You guys have integrity. You guys are good officials. You did nothing wrong whatsoever. Don't let this be the determining factor and end up being your legacy.
Right.
Continue to officiate.
Exactly right.
Please continue to officiate because you do a great job.
The IHSA did not want this tournament to be remembered for the worst sports I've never seen. sportsmanship as poor as was displayed at the end of that's as bad.
In the Olympics once in a while.
Yeah, but the high school level, as bad as it gets. So for me, I don't ever want to hear the IHSA talk again about sportsmanship and attitude, because they had an opportunity to really drive home that sportsmanship and attitude matters at the high school level. They had the perfect opportunity on their biggest stage. The biggest stage, their crown jewel,
we call it the crown jewel because it is.
They had their opportunity to drive home that this type of behavior, this poor sportsmanship, is unacceptable. They had their opportunity. And what did they do?
Blew it.
They blew it and blamed the officials for not calling a technical foul for a coach being out of the box. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, to me, I don't ever want to hear the IHSA tell me that they are concerned about sportsmanship and attitude. They've lost that right. Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me you're about sportsmanship. Enforce it. Yeah. Show me. They had their chance, and they flat out blew it. They made a mountain out of a molehill. You punish the coach for those actions, and you move on. The minute you start blaming the game officials, that's outrageous.
You become a politician.
That's exactly right.
And you miss the target, boys.
The IHSA, and granted, these are our opinions.
That's right.
These are our opinions.
And we'll welcome anybody from the IHSA to come in and
dispute it. Please, we'll give you the whole hour.
Yeah.
Please do.
You come in and tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me while I'm wrong. Yeah. I would love to have that debate.
We'll spend a whole hour with you if you wish.
That's right. The floor is theirs.
Yeah.
They can have 50,000 watts across mid-Illinois to explain to me. While they were right.
And good luck in getting me convinced.
Well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.
And America's high school sports leader.
Talk to you next week.
And happy sporting.